All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello, it's James from the podcast here. Just to say, before we get into the episode properly, I called this one Black Star Dancing Reaction and then just locked everything down and realised I didn't actually really talk about Black Star Dancing at all and give my view on it. So I'm just going to do this quickly and then we'll get into the episode proper. So basically, I think that the track starts in a very blissed out kind of dancey way, and it does feel very different. Because it's just quite pared down with just that sort of keyboard sound and the drums, and then the bass comes in. I really like the bass. It kind of reminds me of Drop the Pressure by Milo, and then the Gloria Estefan kind of Milo mashup they did, Dr. Pressure, so which I think is good. And then it builds, and you have then the chorus is quite nice. One of the things I don't think works about it is that the backing vocal in the chorus, because it goes like, we can ride on, we can ride all night, na, 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 na. And that Noel singing that, it kind of, you get this growth in the song and this growth into the chorus, and then that kind of drops it back down again, and I think you kind of lose the dynamism. You want to build into a chorus, and having that sort of na, 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 sort of, I don't know, I think it drops it down. I think maybe that little bit could have been on a synthesizer or on a guitar or something, or maybe even a female backing vocal would have worked there. Or if Liam was doing the main vocal and Noel did that bit of vocal, I think it would have worked. But I think Noel doing the main vocal with quite a dynamic, we can ride on, na 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 na, I think it sort of loses some of the drive that you get through that chorus. So that, I think, is probably the weakest part of the track. My favourite part of the track is when the solo kicks in, because I think you have that really nice bridge into the track. It feels like it's a key change. And then you get this really good guitar solo. I don't know if it's Gem or if it's Strange Boy Stacy, but fantastic guitar solo. Sounds almost like a backwards guitar solo like the Beatles used to do, but I don't think it is. I think it has just got that kind of feel to it. And then the rest of the track sort of tootles along. I really like the guitar in it. I think it's got it's interesting that Noel talks about Nile Rodgers, because it has got that kind of Nile Rodgers sort of feel to it. Quite a nice groove to the guitar playing throughout. And like the keyboard sounds and everything through it. I really like that sort of section with the female vocal. So everything about it I really like. There's nothing about it that I don't like, other than that sort of thing I talked about in the chorus. But I just think generally on the whole, it's kind of a bit of a mid-tempo, mid-paced, doesn't really go anywhere as much as, you know, you'd like it to be a bit more dynamic. But yeah, for what it is like a blissed out sort of cool track. Like if it was a Killers song or something off one of their more recent albums, yeah, it would be fine. I'd listen to it and go, yeah, that was fine. I wouldn't probably ever listen to it again. So that's kind of where I sit on the track itself. And also we didn't talk about the video in the upcoming interview. So the video is definitely worth checking out. He's kind of using the same technique that Weezer used with the Buddy Holly video, where you're getting an old TV program. With Weezer's Buddy Holly, it was the Happy Days. Whereas with here, what he's doing, it's like an old episode of a show in the 70s where it was like based in a pub effectively, or like a working men's nightclub, and where they would have variety acts on. And you can see that you've got like people that were celebrities in the UK in the 70s and 80s, like this old comedian called Bernard Manning, who was very, very popular, but then turns out he was of a racist scumbag. And then you got like other people like the Crankies and things like that. So it was a really interesting idea for the video. It's quite well done. Noel looks so bored throughout the performance, though. Whether that's a deliberate choice that he wants to make it look like he's bored doing this TV show, I don't know, but he really looks like he can't be asked to be there. I mean, we know he doesn't like videos, but the irony is, you know, when he's playing these songs live, he seems to really enjoy them. So it's just that video setting that he clearly doesn't enjoy. But yeah, I really liked it. I think it's really well done, really well put together. The whole thing feels very natural. The sort of the switches between the stuff happening in the 70s from the archive footage and Noel's band. And it's just really good to see Noel's band all together there playing, you know, Jess and YZ especially, because they've come on the podcast. But yeah, so very interesting video, and exactly what Noel should be doing, that sort of thing, because he's not the most dynamic performer in video, so you have to kind of do something interesting, like Mike Bruce did in his videos with Noel and things like that. So yeah, good video, really good song, not quite as dynamic, as exciting as we like it to be for a comeback single, but as we've heard, it is kind of an EP track. So anyway, that's it for me for now. Let's get on with the episode proper. See you on the other side. Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are all right. Well, it's been a hell of a week in the world of Oasis, primarily of Noel Gallagher, because Noel's been back and he's got a new single out, which is going to be part of an EP. And he's been doing live shows, and there's a new video, and he's been doing interviews, and we're going to be covering it all. But I'll be covering it in my main interview today, which is with Matthew Dodd, who is aka Noel Gallagher, as he goes around the country being Noel Gallagher and doing shows, and he is the best Noel Gallagher tribute out there. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoy that, and so we'll pick up all the Noel news when I speak to him. The only thing in Liam news particularly significant is that a clip was released for the As It Was documentary, which was really good fun, so let's have a little bit of that.
Right, up here. That Antarctica, this is where the magic happens. Obviously, it wasn't like this. But, yeah. So this is like, this is mine and Noel's original room, original fucking plaque that we had. Oh, look at that. So that'd go back there. That's where Noel would be. I was this side. And then he'd have his stereo. That stereo that I pissed on was there. And this is the magic. The magic switch that I went for one night when I was off my box but missed to turn the light on to go to the toilet. There used to be a toilet there and I fucking missed and I just fucking saw kids in bed. I was just stuck there. All over his tackle. And that's when I think the grudge died.
There will be a world premiere plus exclusive performance broadcast live to cinemas on June the 6th. And then it is in cinemas on June the 7th. And it looks like it will just be just on that one day, on June the 7th. So, yeah, make sure you get your tickets. It should be really good. I have been in touch with them about doing something, but, yeah, they haven't come back to me for a little while, so don't know if anything particularly is going to happen on that front with us, but, hey, we'll see. And I'll stay in touch, and we'll find out if we can get involved in some way. So, finally, before I move over to the interview, the main thing to say is that this is going to be the last episode, unless something crazy happens, but assuming not, this can be the last episode before the live event on May the 17th. And as we stand, we have about 20 tickets left. So if you want to get down there, please do get involved as quick as you can, because it is definitely going to sell out before the night. Yes, just to recap, what we're going to be doing: doors at 7. I'll be on stage from 7:30, sort of say hello, and then we're going to be doing a few tunes. Me and Joel and my old drummer will be doing about 4 Oasis tunes. And then it will be Tony McCarroll at 8, and probably be the interview with me would be sort of probably 8 till about 2:30 maybe, and then hand it over to a Q&A probably for about 15 minutes. So that will be fantastic. And yeah, anyone is available to ask questions. And if you want stuff signed, Tony has said he's fine to get stuff signed. There's no sort of extra cost for a signing, or there's no, you know, additional cost for a VIP pass or anything. No, it costs like 12 quid, or I think it's 13, 16 with the booking fee to come along. And then, yeah, and you can meet Tony, get stuff signed. It's all good. It's all fine. So we will then have the Magic Mod, probably about 9:30. He's going to be doing his thing. Comedy and magic on stage is going to be absolutely brilliant. And then about 10, probably, will be Our Kid. And that's David Scott, who we interviewed the other day. It's going to be a full live band performance, which, yeah, they are sounding absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, they are not to be missed. Just seeing them is probably worth the cost of the ticket alone. So they're going to be doing probably about 45 minutes, I would have thought. And then also in between and then afterwards, we will be having live performances from various people that you know have been involved in the podcast at various points. For instance, Ryan Harvey, Mike D'Souza, Khan Might Say, Paul from the Shantleys, Dave Walker. Yeah, a couple of others as well. So it's really exciting. Make sure if you can be in London on this Friday coming, Friday, May the 17th, then do make sure you get your tickets beforehand and come on down. Good. And then you'll be very pleased because after that, I'm going to stop banging on about it all the time. Although the next couple of episodes are probably going to be recordings from the day because we are going to be recording it and putting it out. So, right, I think that's it. Let's move over now to the interview with Matthew Dodd, aka Noel Gallagher. Welcome to the Oasis podcast, Matt Dodd, aka Noel Gallagher. How the hell are you?
I'm very well, mate. Very well. In the sunshine today, ironically. Yeah. All good. Thanks, man. All good.
In the sunshine.
In the sunshine, yeah.
Yeah. Whereabouts are you, mate? Where are you from?
On the Wirral, on Merseyside. So people are always surprised when they hear that I'm not a man can Noel Gallagher. Should
yeah.
I'm a Merseyside of it,
so. Yeah, and do you do a Manchester accent when you do it? Do you take it that far, like the Oasis tributes do, or don't bother?
No, I don't do that, to be honest.
Okay.
No, it's all about the songs and just replicate the songs, really. It's not an act as such.
Sure.
Yeah, it's very much what's on stage and the songs themselves, yeah.
I suppose that's the thing with people going to see Oasis tributes is often you need a Liam. Sometimes people will wear like the Noel jackets or whatever, but they don't tend to get like a Noel lookalike. It's more about Liam, isn't it? I suppose Noel, it doesn't. But you do tend to, I don't know if it's your voice. Is your voice naturally similar to Noel's, or do you, because it is spot on. I mean, I remember I played a bit of you doing Diggsy's Dinner, didn't I, a couple of episodes ago, and it is absolutely spot on. Like, do you try to imitate him, or is it just naturally you've got the similar voice?
Do you know what? This probably isn't something I should admit to, but I don't think I sound like him. Because I shouldn't admit that, I don't. But he's got a naturally higher range, so for stuff like the Imports of Being Idle, I can't get those high notes in Imports of Being Idle, so we don't do it.
Oh, right.
And I personally don't think I sound like him. I think it's the overall sound of the band, and whatever the guy's singing sounds like isn't really as relevant, because people kind of fill in the gaps in their own head.
Okay.
That's my thought. Well, thank you very much anyway. I do take that as a total compliment that you think that. And people have said that before, but I don't hear it. I've heard people say that I sound more like Kelly Jones from Stereophonics, which is fine. So I think most of it is like the mannerisms, the way you stand in, the way you play in, and also the phrasing of the lyrics themselves. So that can kind of trick people into thinking you sound like him.
Yeah.
I think if you really got down to it, you'd recognise that it's not exactly spot on, but it's just about the music, you know. It's about everyone getting together and enjoying all the amazing songs, really. So
yeah, fair
that's
play.
The way I look at it.
So how long have you been doing that, aka Noel Gallagher?
How long for? I set the band off just over 4 years ago.
Okay.
We had about 7, 8, 9 months where we were just rehearsing, obviously building up enough songs to actually be able to do a full show, full 2-hour shows. Chasing Yes, they came out in the March. I put the band together in the April, and then we were gigging together from the November.
Mm-hmm.
Did a couple of gigs together at the end of the year, and then from 2016 onwards, it was full pelt just getting in touch with venues and seeing if people were up for what we were doing. Mm. And being in the northwest of England is a prime location.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what part of the northwest you're in, there's Oasis fans everywhere. And I mean, we've got gigs in Scotland, there's plenty of Scottish fans, you know that for a fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully getting more down south now as well. So we're starting to branch out a bit more. We were just really centred on the northwest, but we're doing all over the place now. We're trying our best to, and you know, get in different places. So, but there's so many Oasis tributes, this is the problem, you see. So, and they're covering the whole country. And they're all great at what they do, but venues don't want to have an Oasis tribute and an old tribute because they think they're doubling up.
Yeah.
Which I can understand why, but there's plenty of venues that we play that also have an Oasis tribute as well as us, so it can work for both, you know, it can work for both.
Mm. No, cool. No, well, I see you're playing some great venues and stuff. It looks like it's going really well, so, no, all good. So, I thought, well, this has been a crazy week for Noel. This is like Noel's big week, and the last time I did an episode, it was literally just the first clips of Black Star Dancing were just sort of starting to drop, and then we had the song, and then we had the video, and then we've had these live gigs, and so yeah, it's been a mad week. I mean, as a Noel Gallagher based performer, is that it's been a pretty crazy week for you, I imagine.
Yeah, it's great because we get loads of people interacting with us saying, oh, what do you think of the new song? Do you like it? Or, you know, oh God, don't play the new stuff at your you know, at your gigs. And you're like, oh, right, well, that's a bit difficult because we are likely to, you know?
But, yeah.
The way I look at it is more of a, this new stuff, we've got to touch on it at some point, you know, whether it's right away or if we leave it a couple of months and see what the general feeling is. I personally really like it. I like that he's going out and doing different things and doing it for himself. I know a lot of people say Liam's the man of the people and the man of the fans and all this kind of stuff, which is great. But, you know, Noel's, as selfish as it sounds from Noel's point of view, he's doing it for himself, and he's got a perfect situation now. You know, so it's... And he's an artist, isn't he? So he's doing his thing, and it sounds great. Then the live version sounds incredible.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'd say to people as well. But if you don't like the record, the studio version, listen to the live version, because it's just like with Holy Mountain. When Holy Mountain came out, everyone was either one way or the other. I very much loved Holy Mountain. I still do. I love it even more now.
Yeah.
We open our set with it every gig, and it's just rocky, get everyone going. And I think a lot of people have turned to it now a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I agree.
You know, it's still not Oasis, so that's why people were not liking it at the beginning, and hopefully people have warmed to it now as well. I love the new stuff. Rattling Rose as well. Have you heard that yet?
Well, yeah. So this is the track that's only been... Yeah, he played it live for the first time, didn't he? Was it your show that was the debut?
Well, we went to the Landlord No Gig on Wednesday, and he did it for the first time in Edinburgh on the Tuesday.
Right.
So I'd seen a video clip of it earlier in the day, and I thought, wow, that's really nice. You know what, first listen sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And then we heard it live, and it's just, when it's in front of you, it sounds even better. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what that sounds like, you know, the studio version now, seeing how different it is. But
yeah,
that's one that's going to go in our set in the next couple of months. It's just really, really nice, really good tune.
Yeah, yeah. No, I really liked it. I think I probably preferred it to Black Star Dancing, actually. But
yeah, do you know what? I was just saying to one of my mates, actually, about the fact that he's still producing B-sides that are better than the A-sides,
yeah,
even now. You know, 25 years later, Rattling Rose should probably be the A-side, but it's not, it's the B-side, so...
Oh, no. So this is the other thing I was going to say to you. So this is weird, isn't it? That, like, because we all thought when that first song dropped, so this is the new single from the next album.
The next album, yeah, yeah.
But no, this is going to be an EP, and then there's going to be, what, three EPs, they were saying?
Yeah, there's going to be another two, isn't there? Yes, and Noel was on, was it Absolute Radio? Well, he did it all last week, didn't he? He ticked them all off his list as he went through the day. Yeah, and said there was going to be another two before Christmas, so basically an album's worth of material spread over 6 to 9 months, something like that.
Mm. Mm.
You know, lots of new songs, 3 new songs on this one. I like a couple of remixes and stuff on it, on the DP with Bastard Dancing, but, you know, 3 new songs, probably another 3 or 4 in each of the next two as well. So, yeah, you've got an album's worth of material, just spread over a longer time, really. So.
Mm. But then it's just whether he then does another album, like, of a full album of that comes at, like, at Christmas or whatever, whether there's a new album or whether this is then going to be collected with, say, another 4 or 5 songs, and then that becomes the album. I don't know. I haven't heard whether that's been confirmed.
No, I don't think there's no confirmation of it, but my feeling is that this will take us up to the end of the year, and it'll be 2 years by the time we get to the end of the year that Who Got the Moon came out. So.
Right.
So in my head, and because all the graphics are the same, you know, all the album or single sleeves are the same, you know, with the picture discs and different coloured sleeves and stuff, I think this is going to be the end of this section, and then he'll go off and do something else. He might have a break for a year or whatever. I think that's what happened, but that's the way I'm looking at it. But there was talk about him doing 2 albums at the same time, one with the full Mike Leinberg setup and one with David Holmes. So But it seems like this is a mixture of the two, because both YC and Jess are involved with this song, so I don't know. You never know. Until he comes out and says, you don't really know, do you? I don't know if Russ is on this song or if Gem's on it. There's Gem playing the solo on Black Star Dancing, or is Paul Strange Boy Stacey like he has done before? Or you don't know. Until we get the credits and we find out who's on it, then you really don't know.
And the annoying thing is, I love it all. And all those interviews he did, no one actually asked any of these questions. Whereas if Noel would come and did the Oasis podcast, I know. You know, whereas if he came and did the Oasis podcast, then I would ask those questions. But there you go.
Fair enough. I don't know what questions need to be answered. They'll just go over the usual journalism rubbish.
I know.
So you and your High Flying Birds, you've got a brand new single. Mm. First thing, what's it called?
It's called Black Star Dancing.
Okay. That's Black Star, not Dark Star, because I know there's a Bowie influence in there.
There's a Bowie influence in the tune itself.
Yes. Okay. How would you describe it? Because there's a lot of influences, not fighting for our attention, but in synthesis.
I would describe it as a mishmash of a lot of watching of reruns of Top of the Pops.
Okay. Okay, I do that.
Between 83 and 87.
That's quite a mix, isn't it?
So you've got your new tune. I've got down here, it managed to combine influences of David Bowie, INXS, U2, Queen, In Deep, and ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's quite a combo, isn't it?
I know. I wrote it in the studio.
Yeah.
Because the other stuff that I'd written wasn't very good.
But Nile Rodgers liked it. That's what's important.
Nile Rodgers happened to be in the studio while I was working on it.
Oh, coincidence.
And... I've met him a couple of times, and I popped into the studio to see him, and he was sat leant against the mixing desk, and he was playing his guitar in that style. And I was like, as he was playing away there, he said, "Hey, man," and I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Oh, I'm working with this person." I turned around, and it was, remember the Scouse girl that didn't win X Factor?
Mm. Which one?
Ferguson.
No. Oh, yes, I vaguely do, yeah.
She said, "I'm writing songs with her," and I was like,
wow.
He's writing songs with you.
Yeah, yeah, right.
She went, I know. And I was like,
Did she say, I know?
Fair play to her. She just went,
I know. I suppose she looked, he went, sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Normally the stock response.
I was saying to Niall, you write songs with her for?
Yeah, right.
I'm not struggling.
I know, but what was his reply? Because I'm interested to know. Money.
I'm not sure what his reply was. He just flashed a big smile and went,
he likes working.
Another hit.
Yeah.
Do his hands make that noise without a guitar?
Have you had the pleasure of meeting this guy?
No,
he's unbelievable.
No.
He's a dude.
Is he?
He was when he left me, he came into the studio on his way back, and we had the track on. And he was saying, oh, "Is this you?" And he was at a dancer on the studio.
Yeah.
And I said, "Where are you off to?" And he said, "I gotta go to Southampton to meet Sophia Loren."
Wow,
wow, man!
And I was like, "You know what? Yeah. Just when you think you've made it,
yeah, yeah, right."
What's the show? I mean, generally, how was the show itself in Llandudno?
Oh, well, I'd seen the set list from the night before, so I knew what to expect. I can't stay away from set lists. Stay away from them. I want to know what's getting played, what's back in the set, what's been taken out. It was a great show, as you'd expect, as I expected. I think Noel's getting to the point now with his gigs where people just go. Some people are going just because it's Noel and because he's in Oasis and because he's going to play certain songs. Whereas those people don't expect to hear as much new stuff because he loves doing the Highlander stuff. He loves those songs. So
yeah.
We're going to hear a lot of them, whether you like it or not. Mm. They are there for the Keeps. You know, they're going to be there for a long time to come.
Yeah.
It was a great show, great visuals, great playing, as you'd expect. It's a well-rehearsed band. They're professionals. They sound incredible. They're all mates. You can see them all buzzing on stage. They're all smiling and laughing away. Or whatever you think of Noel being miserable, which I think he is as well. He obviously loves what he's doing at the moment.
Mm.
He's in a perfect moment for himself, probably creatively, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way. But certainly live performance-wise, they're really buzzing off it, you can tell.
Mm. And they pulled back a few, well, it's a couple of songs he never played before as a high-flying bird, so there was Stop Crying Your Heart Out and then also Master Plan, and then a few like Lock All the Doors that were back in again, having been dropped from last tour.
Yeah, yeah, Stop Crying Your Heart Out just sounds incredible. Absolutely incredible. I've been speaking to mates about it in the last few days, and it just builds and builds and builds because you've got an 11-piece band there.
Yeah.
You know, two lots of keys, loads of percussion going on. You know, Jess is playing tambourine, doing Noel's backing vocal while obviously Noel's up the lead. And then you've got the brass section at the back, the three guys who just build it up more and more during the mid-section. Dem's playing the little lead bit. It just sounded incredible, Stop Crying Your Heart Out, really did. And that's going in our set, ASAP. It really is. As soon as we found out he did it in Rome last week, it was like, right, that's definitely going in. No doubt. Because we do it as an acoustic trio, so it's not quite the same, but people love it, and it's an anthem, isn't it? You know, it's got a great sing-along chorus.
Yeah.
So we've been doing it acoustic, but we're going to do it as a full band now as well. We're definitely going to be having it to a full set, but... Yeah, Matthew Plant's back as well. That sounded incredible. Amazing. The Mexican's back, Lock All the Doors is back. And he's dropped in here at the moment. Riverman's gone, Battle of Matty Eye's gone. So, yeah, he's had a bit of a shake up, which is nice because everyone kind of doesn't like the fact that Noel is so predictable with his stat list. Which it's not a huge change, but you know, go let it out, Scott. As well, that's gone. So, and the right stuff's gone as well. So, YC has to be involved in other songs now. So, YC obviously doing the female vocals on the right stuff. So, that's gone out there and brought something else in. In the Mexican, it's got all three girls singing.
Cool.
As well as Noel and Ross. So, before it was just Noel and Ross doing.
Yeah.
You know, kind of dual vocals, if you like. But now we've got the three girls backing it up as well. Incredible. And their vocals are always going to provide something
the next
to the whole thing, you know.
So, yeah. No,
the hell of a band he's got going on now, really. As you can see, he's enjoying that whole setup.
It is a great band. And well, most importantly, and to finish it off, was there any scissor playing?
There was some scissor playing. Yes, there was some scissor playing.
Yes.
it's only in that one song. It's only in she's only out the fly. She didn't bring them out for any others. She had a bit of percussion out, Charlotte, but yeah, the scissors were there. Please to report they are still in the ensemble. Yeah, they are there.
Well, thank the Lord for that. Right, good.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt, if people want to find you online, where can they find you?
Right, so we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, aka Noel Gallagher. Our handle is aka Noel G, so you can just type that in and we'll come up, or you can Google us. We've got tickets available for gigs all over the place. Scotland, we've got Edinburgh and Glasgow coming up in July. We've got Chester and Stoke coming up in June, and we're doing all the loads of tribute festivals over the summer as well, so really looking forward to those. And that's where we're going to play Stop Crying Your Heart Out for the first time at the end of May, so
brilliant.
That should be good. Get everyone in the sun and the sunglasses and the hats and stuff and get everyone singing, so
perfect.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Cool, good. Alright Matt, well thanks so much for your time, mate, and we'll be in touch and we'll speak again soon.
Good stuff,
thanks,
JC. Take
cheers, mate. Bye. Okay, thank you very much to Matt, and as he said there, check out AKA Noel Gallagher at AKA Noel G on Twitter and wherever else you find him on the internet. So I did ask for gig reviews from a couple of people, and Luke Herding has got back in touch with this.
Hi James, hope you're doing well, mate. I'm just sending over a gig review for Noel Gallagher's recent concert in Edinburgh. So he was playing the first concert of his mini tour. So it was at the Playhouse in Edinburgh, which quite a strange arena for him to play in. Usually it's for theatre, kind of like things like Annie and stuff like that. I've been there for see comedians like Kevin Bridges. I've also seen Darren Brown there, but I've never been there for a concert. So it's quite a small, about 2,000 seated, all seated arena. It's quite an interesting place to see Noel playing. So he kicked things off with his usual kind of like five songs from the start of the last album, Who Built the Moon, which is great. Great to hear them all again. They sounded pretty spot on. And then after that, he introduced his new single, Black Star Dancing, which is good to hear. Good to hear some new material. Again, sounded pretty good. YC was pretty awesome on the backing, singing for that, so yeah, band sounded great. And then after that, he played a song that no one had heard before, which he announced it was a B-side to Black Star Dancing, but he never gave a song title. So eventually later on, I found out it's called Rattling Rose. Now, I've got to say, it was okay, I think. kind of Paul Weller-y sort-ish acoustic number. Didn't really catch me, but I think once I hear it on in studio sort of version, it might sound a bit better. But yeah, I can kind of see why it was a B-side, to be honest. But still good to hear a new song. Which kind of gave me hopes that maybe he might play more new stuff. However, he ended up just kind of sticking to the usual sort of numbers that he normally plays. Brought back a few songs. Talk Tonight came back into the set. I don't believe he played that last time, last tour, which always great to hear that. He then played Importance of Being Idle, Little by Little. Crowd really reacted pretty well to those again. Kind of similar to the last tour, where he started off like first five, six songs were, you know, new album stuff, and then Little by Little came in and the crowd just went nuts. So it's a similar sort of vibe to that. He then played Dead in the Water, which again, absolutely outstanding, especially in that arena, that smaller arena. His voice echoing through the theatre was fantastic. Lovely to hear that again. Then a little surprise, he played El Mexicano, which was not expecting. Quite a good little pick-me-up after Dead in the Water. Then If I Had a Gun, so usual one. Lock All the Doors was brought back in, again, quite a punchy, rocky tune, which is good to hear. Then the last four songs before the encore, he played four Oasis songs back-to-back. Start with The Master Plan, so he's brought that back again. Always fantastic to hear that, one of my favourites. Again, crowd went nuts for that one. Wonderwall, Half the World Away, great again. And then finished off with Stop Crying Your Heart Out, which I've kind of seen that he's been playing that. I think he did a few sort of like festival concerts in Italy, I believe it was in Rome, where he played that there. But that's the first time I've ever seen that live, so it's great to hear. However, obviously, I would prefer Liam on the main vocals and him kind of doing the backup. But still, I think it sounded pretty good, to be honest. Better than the Go Let It Out version that he did, to be honest. I think it worked a lot better. That song kind of suits him more than Go Let It Out. So, yeah, fair play to him for introducing that back in the set. And then the final three songs after the encore was AKA What a Life, Totally Back in Anger, and then his cover of All You Need Is Love. So yeah, all in all, pretty excellent gig, to be honest. Probably the best I've seen him and the High Flying Birds together, to be honest. Might have been the arena he was in, like the sound was pretty spot on. The atmosphere was great because it's such a small or intimate gig. Also another factor might be that I think the band is pretty on point right now. I think he's really got a good thing going on behind them. So yeah, I think it's working all great. So yeah, I think he's got one more concert to do in London, and then yeah, he's on to the major festivals. So yeah, fingers crossed the rest of the gigs go as well. All right, cheers.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that, Luke. Much appreciated. And if you guys saw Noel in any of those shows on the mini tour, then do get in touch if you want to drop over a review. Yes, it would be fantastic. And we'll play it on here. Right. So the other part of this episode today is about Bring It On Down, the next track in the Oasis A to Z. So, really excited to do this one because it's a hell of a song, and and it's a real favorite, and I think a lot of what people were saying, we'll come to your comments in a bit, but everyone was sort of saying this is what Oasis is all about, this is the sound that we loved. And it's funny, when other people had talked about other Oasis songs, whether it was ones we've done recently like Boy with the Blues, or you know, people were saying, well, this isn't really my Oasis, this isn't the band I fell in love with. This, Bring It On Down, is the band that most of us fell in love with. So, yeah, but don't hear it from me. Let's go and hear it from someone else from an Oasis tribute band. This is from a little Oasis tribute band called Columbia. Not the best song, but great message.
Podcast. It's Ian here, aka Noel G from Columbia, the sound of Oasis, a tribute band up in Edinburgh. You can check us out on Facebook, Columbia Oasis Band. Doing a bit of a breakdown through the music and guitar parts and the guitar sound of Bring It On Down. Obviously, it's on Definitely Maybe. This song's probably been kicking around since the back end of 92, start of 93, and has gone through. If you listen to all of the different versions and ways that they've played it in the performances, it can be quite different, even in the days when like Tony and Barney and Griggs were in it. As the band developed a sound and really went from into the punk sort of phase that we all know and love from 94, some of the performances can be a bit weak, and like I don't know what's going on, what happened at Mono Valley, but the Dave Batchelor stuff's absolutely shocking. But then you move on to like the back end of 94, Wolverhampton, and it is just like fucking fierce rock and roll, really in your face, really punky, and they've really got the sort of the drive behind that tune. It seemed to get dropped then going into 95, and it got picked back up at Glastonbury 2004, the night before, this was quite a well-known gig, if the people that were there said it was good anyway, but Glastonbury again, Zach kind of fucked it, he kind of didn't have a very good night that night, it was slow. But then, for me, like the Don't Believe the Truth tour 2005, that was the pinnacle for Oasis coming back from the 95-96 stuff. I think that performance-wise, band-wise, tightness-wise, Zach really brought something back to the band. So he kind of he did make up for his poor showing at Glastonbury. So in 93-94, when it was originally recorded on Definitely Maybe and they were playing it out and about live, the guys would have been using, well, Noel would have been using an Epiphone Les Paul, and I think that's what's on the recording. There's not a lot in by way of effects on the sort of the recorded version of it, and they didn't really use much playing live. It's just distortion and a lot of compression. Now, Noel, as far as I'm aware, like especially in the early days before he started to get a bit of cash by him, he just had a Boss compression pedal. He had an Ibanez tube screamer, and he had a Boss Space Echo as well, which he used quite a bit. You can especially hear that on things like live versions of Supersonic at the end, where it sounds like there's like three or four guitars going off. It's just Noel playing with the Space Echo. He's really, I think he's really underrated, his use of effects. But on this one, I just think he's using, he had a Marshall valve state, like an early 90s one, which are transistors, transistor amps, they're not tube amps, which gives like quite a raspy sound. It's not got the warmth of a tube amp, but that's what all of these tunes, like Supersonic and Head Shrinker and Bring It On Down, that raspiness comes from those amps. Now, if you're learning to play guitar or you're trying to capture the Oasis sound at that time, that's quite a good thing because they're really cheap. You can actually pick up like the 90s Marshall valve states for pennies, really. I've got one which I use in the band. It's pretty solid, and it only cost me 60 quid. And it's I've got a Marshall valve state S80, which is a twin chorus, super loud, and it really gives you the sound of those early Oasis records. Now at Glastonbury, when it came back into the set, Noel used his Les Paul 59 reissue, which you'll see him using loads on Familiar to Millions, and then he stopped using it a little bit, to be honest, towards the latter part of the career. But it's what he used at the Barrowlands, what he used on Familiar to Millions, all of the Brotherly Love tour, at that kind of middle period. But then, for some reason, 2005, when they Don't Believe the Truth tour, Bring It On Down gets pumped up all the way to the third tune in the set, just probably to hit him hard after Turn Up the Sun and Lila. But he changed his guitar to a Telecaster, which has got, I'm sure the guitarists out there already know all this, but it's a single coil guitar. It's really thin and like raspy, and it sounds mega punky, and it gives a bit of a different vibe to the sort of the fatness of and the big sound that we all know from 94 with Bonehead playing his Matsumoko Epiphone Riviera, and also Noel playing an Epi Les Paul, or one of the Les Pauls that Johnny Marr lent him. I think it's as simple as, on the pedals, just turning your distortion up. On the Marshall that I've got gain and contour. I just turn them right up, really condense the sound, and I've got a Boss ME70 guitar multi-effect, and I just have it played with compression on. And you can hear, give you a bit of a difference just between what I play in the band, an Epiphone Dot, which is, again, really cheap. You can pick them up secondhand for about 200 quid. And it's kind of the classic red Riviera style if you don't want to break the budget or you break the bank, you've not got thousands and thousands to splash on the nice guitars. So, on an Epiphone, like we're playing with humbuckers, big semi-acoustic sound, you can hear, this is what it sounds like. And on a Telecaster, it's a bit thinner and fizzier. And also the difference between having the compression off or having the compression on and making it look super distorted. Then the 2005 rework of it, Noel, I don't know why, but decides to play it on a capo. I find this a bit of a weird way to do it, to be honest with you, because, and if ever I'm playing it live, I don't play it with the capo. so that I can go down to the lower E in the chorus, because I think that change will come to the transitions in the chorus, but I think that really adds something to it and gives it the pop sensibility that we all know is associated with Noel's songwriting. So to the song, it starts off with the whole tune is in the B minor scale, so it just starts off with big B minor chords. It plays the chord the whole way down. It's not a power chord, it is just the big B minor. As you get into the verses, a couple of different ways and ways it's been played. So I think the album version, the chords are basically B minor, D, E, D. On the earlier version that's done with the Real People, it doesn't have the riff, which is on the definitely main version of it. So the riff is, it's basically, again, just bending in that bluesy kind of scale, taking the E, stuff in flash, but it's like with all the Noel stuff, it's just super melodic and effective, which is what you want. But on the earlier versions, and I think also in parts on the reworked version of 2005, it kind of plays the plays in a D suspended second shape and slides it up to an E, so it's more like this. Bridge, this is, I mean, for me, the whole tune is like Tony McCarroll's masterpiece. This and Head Shrinker, the drumming on it is just absolutely phenomenal, and he's criminally underrated. Alan White is an outstanding drummer, and I mean, listening back to the podcast from a couple of months ago on I Got the Fever, the fills in it are just ridiculous. He's a super talented drummer, Alan, but it doesn't mean to say that Tony's like a shit drummer, because he's definitely fucking not. This, I mean, the intro is phenomenal, and Zach plays it slightly differently. He puts his own twist on it, but I guess it gets the point across. But what Zach doesn't do, Tony does do, which just for me just improves the song, is in the bridge, he puts the chorus, he puts the cymbals and articulates the end of Liam's vocal. So it's you're the outcast, and then it's the D, A. It's like 1, 2, 3. And the way that he just punches the B and the D and the A. So the bridge is, again, B minor, D, A. The way that he articulates that, I think it just makes the song. Zach doesn't do it. Fair enough, he's an awesome drummer as well. In the chorus, it's B minor, D, G, E. On the album version, there's no capo involved, so everything drops down to the E at the bottom octave. Whereas Don't Believe the Truth Tour, Noel's playing it with the capo. I'm not sure if Gemmy's as well, but they are playing an eight for those of us amongst us who can never work out where you, what your capo does to actually hit the chords. It's something like this. So the shapes are A minor, C, F, and D with the capo on. And then the lead parts, very similar to the intro, but again, it's just Noel just pushes an idea to the extreme, and something that could, you know, you could think is quite simple to play for a guitarist that's proficient, but it just sounds like so rocking. So it's, and then he slides the solo up to the, and pushed it to the top of the scale. And slides down. So it's a sliding up to a B on the 12th fret. And then you pick it with the, on the 11th fret of the G string, so it's an F sharp. And then down to A. And then F sharp again. Down to E. Just a really cool little way to bring Liam back in. Sounds to me like Liam's on the bit, on this bit in the break in the middle, singing through a guitar amp, which I think they tended to do little bits like that. I know on the Beer Now accompanying video to the reissue, and I was like, they put in a fucking 48 piece orchestra or something through a little Vox amp, but I think that's probably pushing the point a bit too far. But Liam sounds like they've taken him and stuck him through a Marshall or something and put the distortion up, which gives all of that saturation, all of that compression. And then obviously Owen's done his thing as well when he's mixing it to super compress everything anyway. That twice, and then Noel does his little pick scrape, just a bit, which sounds amazing. Obviously does that on the beginning of Supersonic, does it on Bring It On Down, does it on live versions of Some Might Say. It just articulates and punches before music's going to come back in, or if it's going to hit a vocal. It's a really clever little trick. I think that I know Noel in particular is quite well known for his attempt for going to the Hacienda and being into dance stuff, but the way that he sort of has drops in songs is really like house music. And I don't know anybody else that, there must be other bands that do it, but I can't really think of them. But you're thinking about the way that like Cigarettes and Alcohol drops right back down to after the little, and that built back up in that. This is the same sort of thing, really. Like the way that it comes back in, and it is articulating it, and it's hitting a vocal, it's hitting the music coming back in. I think that's a really dance or house music mood influence. It's the way that DJs take two records and mix to hit a vocal. So after that, we're back into the the bridge, which is B minor, D, A. Tony hitting all the cymbals and everything again, and then another way around, rip round the chorus. So B minor, D, A in the bridge, B minor, D, G, E for the chorus, and this song got, especially the album version, they did cut the outro a lot shorter in the live versions, but on Definitely Maybe it's probably about a minute or something long, just loads of Noel's leads going off all over the shop, finishing with a kind of bass around the solo, but then finishing with a flurry of unison bends, which is what he puts at the end of like the solo in Don't Look Back in Anger. All the loads of live stuff from 94, 95, he like just big unison bends, which is basically where you will hold your fingers at a certain position on the G string and also the B string, and you bend the G so that it hits the same note as what's on the B string, and it gives a really fat noise, quite psychedelic as well. So it kind of sounds like this. Or the other trick that he uses, which is at the beginning of Acquiesce and also in like Rock and Roll Star, is instead of having your finger behind two frets on the B string, you hold the second and third string at the same position, just like this. And Noel kind of does a little hammer on and hammers off, which again is similar to what he does on the Don't Look Back in Anger solo. Back into that position, back into the pentatonic kind of main meat of the fretboard. It's a really good tune for just like jamming out to and just doing your own thing as well, if you're playing along in that scale. And obviously Bring It On Down is just a bit of a guitarist wet dream anyway, I think. Great tune. I love it. And shame it wasn't the first single, but to be fair, Supersonic probably edges it for me. Anyway, thanks very much to James for humouring me, let me put this together. It probably needs editing down. It's like 20 minutes long in its current state. I've been Ian from Columbia, the sound of Oasis. Check us out at www.facebook.com/Columbia Oasis Band. And hopefully you'll hear from me again. Cheers.
Ian, thank you very much for doing that. That is absolutely brilliant and spot on. And no, I haven't edited anything out. In fact, I've added stuff in because 20-odd minutes is not enough when you're talking about Bring It On Down. That's absolutely brilliant. Much appreciated. And one of the points I just wanted to pick up on there that I hadn't thought about really before is that, yeah, that house music influence of dropping down, dropping the song down and then building back up again. Absolutely brilliant. I had never even thought of that. Yeah, great point. And yeah, maybe that is the house music influence. And then the other thing I really liked was, the way that Tony, I'd never even thought about it, but yeah, listening back to the Don't Believe the Truth with Zach, he doesn't do it, does he? What Tony, when he does hit those cymbals on the Outcast, it's brilliant. You know, it's so simple, but it's so effective, which, yeah, hey, well, that's Tony's drumming 100%, isn't it? But yeah, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much. And if you guys want to check out Columbia at the Sound of Oasis, then hit the link in the description. Right, let's get to what you guys had to say about Bring It On Down. All right, so 5 got 56%, 4 31%, 3 10%, 2 3%. 605 votes. So thank you for everyone that voted. And yeah, resounding result, it was a 5. So let's see what you guys had to say. Thomas Moen says, easy 4 out of 5, class tune, very loud. The live version from the Shaker Maker single is better than the studio version. Good evening, Great Britain. Hello. Naya, who is at JDW Pink, said, very punk.
Trevor Duncanson said banger. Louise from Stop Crying Your Heart Out said 5 out of 5. Imagine if the Sex Pistols Pretty Vacant and Anarchy in the UK had a love child, it would be called Bring It On Down. Everything on this track is amazing. Drums, guitars and vocals. I'd love to hear Liam sing it live again as it blows the roof off venues if they have one. Dennis Zielstra, who is at Dennis 1978, said listening to Bring It On Down, you can almost smell the sweat and beer. You can feel a boot hitting the back of your head. You can see the excitement in the eyes of hundreds of young people. This is Oasis. This is our band. This is our time. To put that feeling on record is amazing. Very poetic, Dennis. Love it. Thank you. Brianna Westervelt said, to quote myself, I will forever read the lyrics. You're the outcast, you're the underclass, but you don't care because you're living fast. In McGee's voice, thanks to Supersonic. Yeah, I'm not going to do the Scottish accent. Always and ever will be 5 out of 5. This is Clarky at Clarky_18. A lesson of straightforward rock and roll. No messing, just music filled with talent, confidence and bollocks. If you're this far into this album for the first time, then you know there's no way going back and life will never be the same. Robert, who is at Hanging Sinker, said 5 for me, probably the punkiest Oasis song and the hardest for a foreigner to understand the lyrics just from listening. I'm not a big fan of social commentary on songs, but this one really does it for me, and it being in their debut album shows the world their working class roots. Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Noel often doesn't get lumped in with sort of social commentary type bands, like whether it's the Manic Street Preachers or whether it's, you know, Billy Bragg or whoever else, but yeah, something like that. You're the outcast, you're the underclass, but you don't care because you're living fast. Yeah, very much. And as I say, that's what snared McGee. Alex Kryzan said 5 out of 5, pure punk. Sometimes I wish Noel turned to his angry side again in his songwriting, but maybe not possible without Liam as a singer. Yeah, I tell you what, it's quite interesting. It's quite a contrast today, I think, for Black Star Dancing, which is, you know, just Noel's whispering almost in the verses and the backing vocals, and it's got that nice sort of beat and the female backing vocals and things. It's very nice, whereas this is just dirty. Davies at Davies H_ said absolute belter of a track, McGee's favorite and arguably the punkest album track they ever released. Love it, a proper getting ready to go out hype song, and I love the lyrics, which have a semi-political take. You're the outcast. Yes, My Big Mouth, who's at my_big_name, just said, you're the outcast, you're the underclass, but you don't care because you're living fast, but with lots of A's, and then said 5 out of 5. Mark Osborne, Aussie Peeps, said, love the squelchy sound, like Tony is drumming in a muddy field. Harris, hashtag stop the greed, at Craven43H2, said, love this, proper tune. Didn't get how people round me at Finsbury didn't know this when Liam played it. Was expecting more when it came in, but still love it. Yeah, people didn't get it, but I don't really blame the people for that. I think it was, I don't know if Liam's drummer kind of messed up the intro, because it was just a bit difficult to pick out what it was for a while. It took a while to come in. I remember thinking, oh, it's Bring It On Down. Oh, okay. Yeah, they kind of fudged that. Greedy Soul, who is at Supernova Dragon, said 5, the second best on Definitely Maybe for me. Liam's vocals are just on top form. The music and lyrics work so well. The energy got from this track always has me pumped up. Every time it has been done live, the crowd has loved it, and it's not hard to see why. Outstanding. For What It's Worth, who is at Lila95, said 5, one of their best ever songs. Jamie Tung said a 5 all day long. Never mind the bollocks, here's Oasis. Grandpa Batman said, solid banger, Tony McCarroll's drums are so powerful. Mark Holmes said, "Absolute Oasis, tracks such as this made them the legends they are today. Any less than a 5 is a crime." Adrian at FFS Adrian 2 said, 5 out of 5. Tony's drumming is amazing on this track and it's in my top 5 Oasis songs. And Louise chimed in with that and said, couldn't agree with you more about the drumming on the album version. I love the bootlegs I own of the song that Tony played on too. Richard Nunney said, in an alternate universe, how would Oasis' path have differed, if at all, if this was the first single as originally planned? Stefano Gozzelli, who is at Stephen CX75, said, rock and roll star, live forever, Columbia, Supersonic, Bring It On Down, Cigarettes Now Called Slide Away, all 5 would have been big hits, however they released at the time. Eric, who is at Eric Rowe, okay, said, the first 2 seconds is similar to the first 2 seconds of She Is Love. Tune is different, by the way. Okay, I'll take your word for that one. Rodri Lewis, who is at Rod_Lou15, so it's like a Lewis, always thought this should have been the first single. Yep. Wolves Mark, who is at Wolves Mark, said, definitely maybe wouldn't be one of the best debuts ever without the likes of Bring It On Down, Columbia's angry little brother, superb live version on the Shaker Maker single also. Yep, another shout for that.
Good evening, Great Britain. Hello.
Ayushi, who is at definitely_BE, said 5 out of 5, my favourite in the album after Live Forever, love the lyrics and how satisfying that guitar solo is. Yeah, it's so dirty, that guitar solo, I love it. Jonathan Hudgens, who is at Jonathan Hudgens, said, it's a classic, a bolstering rocker with clever lyrics and snarling attitude. No wonder McGee signed them after hearing it. Sean Byrne, who is at Oalid, said, 5 for me, absolute belter of a song. Always was one of my favourite Oasis tunes when I first got into them. Unique sounding, raw and lots of energy. Great live too. Tom Barker says, who's at Barker05, says, core, those drums at the start, mega. Matt, who is at M4Tet, said, one of the best bits of the album is the ending of this great tune, followed by the opening bars of Cigarettes and Alcohol. Track 5 to track 8 on the album is, for me, quintessential Oasis, and Bring It On Down plays a huge part of that. We Are DNA, says, album filler. It's not single material, but they released worse, and it's certainly one of the weaker tracks on Definitely Maybe. Fade Away or Head Shrinker would make for a stronger album. Not a favourite of mine. 5 out of 10 or 2 out of 5. Michael Foy doesn't agree, who is at Mike Patrick Foy. He said, could have easily replaced Supersonic. It's a mammoth stomper kicking off with loud feedback and the best sounding drum track on any Oasis song. Accompany this with 2 phenomenal guitar solos mixed with beautiful rawness of the Riviera from Bonehead and you have perfection. And also Matt at M4Tet said, wow, I'd be surprised if you get many ratings as low as this for the song, which is correct. There was a couple of people said 2. The Years at The Years UK said, easy to dish out 5s, was heading down this route, then the next song on the album came on and I remembered what 5s had reserved for. Daniel Hurst is Artois69, can see why it was originally penned as the first single, arguably McCarroll's finest moment. Great lyrics which summed up where they and the others like them were at the moment in time. Gave it a 4, as feel the singles from DM were better. Daniel Cadet at Dan Cadet said, wow, just wow, what an intro. No wonder McGee lost the plot listening to this banger. Probably the easiest 5 out of 5. Anyone who gives it below 5, you need to rethink your life. And Dutch at Dutch71631097, catchy handle mate, said, if this is a 5 out of 5, what is Acquiesce or Slide Away or Live Forever? Sean McLaughlin said, an absolute tune and very nearly the first single. Al at AlHendo44 said, absolute sledgehammer of a song. If any Oasis song could sum up the spirit of the band at that time, it would be Bring It On Down. Flemo at Flemo1983 said, absolute classic early Oasis, 5 every single time. Phrase Downs at FDog79 said, love the drums at the beginning, they are insane. Lloyd Fuller at Lloyd J. Fuller said, great tune. Even in 2007, I remember this being one of the best songs played at Milton Keynes Bowl. And he said, hashtag moshpit. Contrarian, who's at Mayoabc, said, a sneering, burning paean to the underclass, emblematic of the relentless statement of intent that was definitely maybe. Almost too fast, but not quite. Marcella Woodcock, who is Cella Woody, said, songs like this cement them as one of the greatest rock and roll bands the world has ever seen. Loud guitars, loud lyrics, and spine tingles all add up to one massive banging tune. Chris Vasey said, it's just punk. And then he said, which is a good thing. 5555555. The Notorious Jim, who is at JimF1984, Bring It On Down and Hetrinker, fucking bangers. And Bren at 25 Freeze said, fucking hell of a tune. So, yeah, there we go. One dissenting voice, I think. But other than that, pretty much everyone agreed it's either 5 out of 5 and pretty much as good as it gets, or maybe not quite just at the level of those other tunes. So, lyrically, let's just run through it. What was that sound ringing round your brain? Today was just a blur. You got ahead like a ghost train. What was that sound ringing around your brain? You're here on your own. Who are you going to find to blame? You're the outcast, you're the underclass, but you don't care because you're living fast. You're the uninvited guest who stays till the end. I know you got a problem that the devil sends. You think they're talking about you, but you don't know who. I'll be scraping your life from the sole of my shoe tonight. Bring it on down, bring it down. For me, your head's in a fish tank, your body and your mind can't breathe. Yeah, and then it just repeats that part. So, yeah, I mean, lyrically, I just love it. A couple of these, I don't know particularly what it's about. I think it kind of feels like someone that's maybe pranging out a little bit. Like they're a bit too drunk or they're a bit too off their head and they're kind of, you know, they're sort of bashing around. I can sort of imagine someone at the end of a night at a party, they're sort of bashing around. So what was that sound ringing around your brain? Today was just a blur. You've got a head like a ghost train. That is such a fantastic image. A head like a ghost train. What does that mean? You're here on your own. Who are you going to find to blame? So it's like someone kind of talking to themselves, like they're pissed off, but they're by themselves. It's only your fault. You're the outcast, you're the underclass, but you don't care because you're living fast. Yes, that's fantastic. You're the uninvited guest who stays till the end. Brilliant. That person who's always at the party, like, okay, it's time to go now, mate. I know you've got a problem that the devil sends. Okay, so is it that it's the devil that's talking to him? Once again, Noel, Catholic religion, Catholic upbringing, talking about the devil and God. They think they're talking about you, but you don't know who. You think they're talking about you, but you don't know who. So he's paranoid. He's wondering. He's in, whether it's a nightclub or wherever that people are talking about him, he doesn't know who they are. That's interesting. I'll be scraping your life from the sole of my shoe tonight. I absolutely love that. I'll be scraping your life from the sole of my shoe tonight. What a fantastic thing to think. Yes. So I don't really understand it, but I just know it's brilliant. And the way that Liam sings those lyrics are just incredible. That's why he's the best singer in the world, because he just delivers those. The certain lines, especially, you know, today was just a blah. here on your own, you know, amazing. Amazing. So, yeah, absolutely love it. Don't really understand what it means, but I just know it's brilliant. The whole chords and playing breakdown that Ian did sort of covered everything, so I think that's spot on. But just to say, Noel said in 2014, he said it was a tribute to the Stooges, the MC5 and punk rock. And it comes at number 7 on the album, which is interesting. So it's after Supersonic and before Cigarettes and Alcohol. And yes, and then there was that live version on the Shaker Maker single as well. So does it live on the album? Should it have been a single? Should it have been a B-side? I like the idea of it being the first single, although actually I think that personally I would have made Rock and Roll Star the first single. I think that would have made sense for me. And maybe the second single instead of Shaker Maker, because I don't think Shaker Maker is that strong as a second single. I know I've heard the argument that it kind of, it was really interesting because it's a bit slower and it showed a different side to them. But no, personally, yeah, I would have gone maybe Bring It On Down second single. I think that would have been fantastic to then lead into Live Forever, as the third single to show that other side to them. So yeah, that would have been for me. I'm happy where it is on the album at number 7. I think it's perfect between Supersonic and Cigarettes and Alcohol. I think it sits brilliantly there. And yeah, maybe second single instead of Shaker Maker. So Oasis played it 192 times. I say it jumped in and out of the set. It was there pretty much ever present in 93, 94, 95. Wasn't played on the big 96 sort of shows. Wasn't played on the Be Here Now tour. And it did come back in 2003, 2004 briefly, and then 2005, 2006. Present throughout that whole period, and then yeah, wasn't played on the Dig Out Your Soul period. Liam has also then played it, so Liam's come back and played it in 2018. He didn't start off his tour with it, he brought it in. The first time he played it was in June 18 at Malahide Castle and Gardens, and then he played it through till Lancashire County Cricket Ground was last time he's played it. And also, it looks like the only cover, or the only well-known cover of it, is by Weezer. They played it in 1998, but I couldn't find a version of it, so whether they did or not, I'm not 100% sure. All right, so I think that will about do it for Bring It On Down. I absolutely love the song. I think it's perfect. I completely agree with what a lot of those things were. I think Tony's drumming is amazing, the guitar sound is amazing throughout, and the and Liam's voice is just remarkable. And yeah, it's right. I don't think I had it in my top 20, but it's probably in my top about 30, I'd say. So yeah, absolutely love that tune. So if you also would like to chime in, then please do get in touch. The best way is audio message. Now, I wouldn't expect you to be as amazing as Ian from Columbia's, but yeah, do feel free to drop us a couple of minutes of what you thought about the tune over on email to oasispod@gmail.com. Right, well, that will about do it for the episode today, I think. This is the last chance now for... There won't be another episode unless something crazy happens, like they decide to get back together or something. So this will probably be it now until after the live event, which is on Friday, 17th of May. Go and get your tickets at eventbrite.co.uk. There's last few ones available. And as I say, it's definitely worth checking out. It's going to be a really, really good night. And we're now figuring out where to do the next one, really, because it sounds like it's going to be great. I think probably the Northwest next, maybe Manchester or Liverpool. We can get a really interesting guest to do an interview, and then maybe a tribute band or an originals band, or we do the same again with just the listeners coming on and doing covers and stuff. So yeah, but anyway, get in touch if you want to be involved in that, if you want to help out. One of the things I really can't be bothered with is all the logistics of arranging it. So if you're very intelligent and good promoter and you know your stuff, and you are happy to book the venue and arrange everything and just pay me to turn up and do it, that would be great. So please do get in touch if that's you. Anyway, thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast, and a special thanks as ever to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly, greatly appreciated. It's really helped out with doing things like paying for Tony McCarroll's hotel. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post articles and post the episodes early and bonus episodes. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me oasispod@gmail.com. You can buy t-shirts with the podcast logo at TeePublic, and please subscribe and review on iTunes. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged and stay young.